Pastor. All right. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you tonight. And we are excited about being here with you for a couple of days. Then Pastor mentioned you're going to have barbecue on Sunday. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm not going to be here. I would love to be here for that. And I'm a Tar Heel. I love barbecue. And how can you be from North Carolina and not like barbecue? And that is great. Well, I'm excited that you have Friend Day. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Pastor has a lot of friends. And anyway, I love that. And I'm glad that I can call him my friend. And he's been a dear friend to us, his wife, his family. And you, this church, have been good friends to us. And we appreciate that so very much. And anybody hearing me for the first time tonight, raise your hand. Who has never heard me? Okay, got a couple. All right, great. Well, thank you so very much. I'm honored you'd be here. And we look forward to coming here. And for the last couple, maybe 3 years, I believe it was now. And it's exciting. And I'll be honest, I love to see churches still have week meetings. Not many churches do that anymore. And I can remember growing up as a little boy, we would have sometimes week meetings turn into 2 week meetings and maybe going a little further. And sometimes in the middle of August when it's merciful, hot, and under a tent. Can you imagine that? And but I'll tell you what, I love it and I praise the Lord for it. And for those that don't know, my family and I, we represent a ministry called Treasure Trials. I did bring some brochures tonight. They're back here somewhere in the auditorium before you leave. And if you're not familiar with our ministry, and I know you folks have prayed for us, and I want to say thank you so very much from the bottom of our hearts. And we can tell that God's people have been praying for us. And I still believe in prayer. God hears and answers prayers. And I praise the Lord for that. And so I wanted to thank you for that as well. And we've had a busy, busy year. I guess in the 7 years that we've been doing evangelistic work from when I was pastoring, this year by far has been our busiest year ever. I mean, it has just been busy. 2 weeks ago, I think my wife said, do you realize before Thanksgiving, we have maybe 10, 11, 12, I think is the most days at home from then till Thanksgiving. And, but I'm thankful to be busy. I'm thankful that God's opened up doors and what a blessing it's been. And we just flew in from Phoenix, Arizona. I preached in Prescott, Arizona all day last Sunday and had a great time out there. We were 6,000 feet in the air. And you talk about Denver being the mile high city. Well, Prescott is a mile high city. And I found out when we went on a hike and I got about a quarter of a mile into it, like where'd all the air go? And we still have chapped lips. They don't know what humidity is out there. What do you say we send them some? Wouldn't that be okay? We send them a little bit of humidity. They have no idea what that's like out there. But we had a great meeting last week. It was a brand new church. The pastor's wife is a nurse. She works at the hospital. And she had been working so hard. They had a friend day, a God is so good Sunday. And her boss, one of the high ups in the hospital, she came to church last Sunday. First time ever in 14 years, the pastor and his wife's been there. And in the morning service, she came and she walked the aisle and got saved. And boy, we just praise God. You never get tired of that. When that kind of stuff happens, it kind of makes you think, well, I don't think I'll complain about traveling. Hotels, eating out every meal, you know, long nights, you know, cause it's all good. And, we praise the Lord for what God is doing. And, Lord's been so good. And, we, leave here, Friday and then we'll be in South Carolina for the next 2 Sundays and a whole week meeting. I preach 8 days straight. So I have another whole week meeting next week. Then we come home for 2 days, fly to Seattle for 2 weeks. And so anybody want to go with us? And it's rainy out there, and it's cool out there. And but Lord's been so good, and I praise the Lord for it. And as I say, almost every time I'm in a different church, you would not believe the churches that we go to, how many people are hurting and are going through the trials of life. And boy, the choir song tonight, so good tonight. Beulah Land, I love that. And the congregational singing and then the special tonight. And it's just exciting. You folks, you sing like you're excited and I like that. And that's the way it ought to be. And so thank you so very much. And you're a blessing to be around. And we are enjoying these couple days we have with you here. And so I thank God that Pastor asked us to come again this year. And it's always an honor, always a blessing. And I'll give you a little quick update. If you want to turn to Psalm 78, we're going to look there in our scripture tonight. And as you'll notice that I am doing much better than even when I was here last year. And it's amazing. I go back to churches now, and maybe I hadn't been in a year or two, and they see me come in, and they think, wow, you're standing still. You're not moving around. What's going on? And all I can tell you, it's just the Lord. And 9 months ago, miraculously, God brought my wife through her dentist visit, a doctor who had moved here from South Africa, and we made an appointment with that doctor, and I went in. He saw how much pain I was in, and he heard my story about everything, and he said, with God's help, I said, I don't think I like that. He said, I believe we can help you. I've not had anybody tell me that. I mean, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, Johns Hopkins, Duke. Nobody's ever told me those words. Most all the words I've received have been, we don't really know much to do for you other than just give you some more pain pills. And it was just refreshing. So 9 months ago, I started a protocol that the doctor offered to me. He said, pray about it first. And how many doctors ask you to pray about something before they give you that? You can just tell that God just orchestrated all this together. He said, read about it. Come back in a few days. Let me know what you think. And he said, it's called neurotherapy. He said, it involves giving you nerve shots, injections into your healthy nerves in your body. And he said, I just believe it'll help you. I read about it. We prayed about it. I showed back up. I said, Doc, I'd like to give it a try. We've tried everything else. And if you believe with God's help that this can help me, then by all means, I want to be a candidate. And so he started right then. He said, well, let's get started today. He said, now, God made your body to heal itself. And he said, you have damaged nerves in your back. And he said, the linings of those nerves have been, messed up. And he said, but I fully believe they can repair. And he said, I'll give you some shots. I'll put them into your healthiest nerves, your most sensitive nerves in your body. So think, where would you think your most sensitive nerves be? And he said, those nerves know how to take this protocol to the damaged nerves and start the repairing process. And the good thing about the medicine, he will not tell us everything that's in it, but it's a healthy protocol of minerals, vitamins, and something called glutathione, but no narcotics, nothing bad, nothing that's unhealthy for you. And so every 2 weeks from January, I go in and I get anywhere from 15 to 50 shots. I know that sounds terrible, does it? And but he did say this. He said, have you heard this statement? Sometimes it may have to get a little bit worse before it gets better. I kind of said, well, I kind of thought you might would go that way. And but anyway, he said, let's start. Take your shoes and socks off. We're going into the toes. I said, oh, you know what? I think I changed my mind about this all of a sudden. And, but that's where he started, and he's been there for several months, and now he's moved up to my knuckles, my hands, and then forehead, my neck, and, now he's in my spine right now. And, but it has worked, and, it has allowed me to be off of about 95% of all medicines. To God be the glory. And, the last 2 days, I've only had a pill and a half. That has not happened in 8 years. And so I just praise the Lord for that. I want to give you a little update. And for those that don't know about our ministry, all of this came about 8 years ago because I had a bad or a botched epidural procedure in my back for a knee surgery. And the doctor missed my epidural space 6 punctures later into my spine, and it just made a mess of my nerves in my back, which means you live with just horrific chronic pain for the rest of your life. And God's doing some great things, and we praise the Lord for that. But I'm glad to give you that update because God's been so good to us. And I'm doing things now that I never dreamed that I'd be able to do. Outside of what we traveled last few days, I've been able to now jog 3 miles a day. And just the other day, my son and I, we played around the golf, and I never dreamed I'd ever get to do that ever again. So God has been so good, and I praise the Lord, and thank you so very much for praying for us in our ministry. And then we believe now we can take what's happened to us, and we have a brand new open door of opportunity to give people hope. And we should never let our hope die out. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight in the message. So let's look in Psalm 78. And Pastor, we want to try to finish up by 11 o'clock. if we have to. No, we'll be here. We'll be out way, I promise you, before that. And, well, let's see. Psalm 78 tonight. And let's look at a few verses here. Psalm 78. I love the book of Psalms. They're wonderful. Do you know Psalms is a song book? You can sing those psalms. I love it tonight. It's just great. And I try to read a psalm every day of my life and different portions of the Bible. And I came across Psalm 78. I'm going to give you an illustration of something that happened in our life early this year that was a very, a devastation. And, you know, sometimes we feel like, boy, I'm already in a trial. I sure hope nothing else happens. And you know, even though it's been a little bit difficult and discouraging at times and harsh at times and rough at times, you know the statement, sometimes it does get a little bit worse. But isn't it good that God always has something good that comes out of it? And that's where I want to go with this tonight. Let's look at verse 1. The psalmist says here, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." Now, he's not saying he's going to speak bad things. He's going to speak things that's in the past. That's just a terminology that they use. I will utter some dark sayings of old, some sayings that were from years gone by. And then he goes to verse number 3, "which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." Now notice that last line. He said, I have something that I want you to make sure you're listening. You ever had, when you were growing up, your mom or your dad or your grandparents or somebody you're staying with, hey, when I talk, look at me. And make sure you listen. My dad would always, if I wasn't looking at him, he'd reach over and grab my chin and pull it around to his face. Hey, son, what he meant, I'm getting ready to say something very important. I don't want you to miss it. That's kind of what the psalmist has said. Hey, give ear. I'm getting ready to tell you something that's very valuable, very important. Some sayings that we already know. They're from way back. But he said, here's why I want you to pay attention. He says, we don't want to hide them from the next generation. And there's some things in all of our lives that we've been handed down, like this Bible right here. This Bible was handed down from my dad, my granddad, and years gone by. And he says, we don't want to hide it from the next generation. We want the children in here to be able to have the same Bible that you and I have been able to have. And the same truths, the words of God. And he says it's important that we do that. But look at this verse. He said, verse number 4, he said, we must show the next generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. How in the world will the next generation coming up know that God's a good God if we don't praise that God? I believe every day we live, we ought to spend a few minutes every day of our life doing nothing but praising God. We don't do enough of praising God. Amen. I'm guilty. Has God been good to you tonight? Well, God's been very good to me. And you know what God deserves? Because he's been so good, he deserves to be praised. And he says in this verse, he said, we want to show the praises. And then here's something else we want to show the next generation. We want to show them how strong our God is. I mean, wow, we want to show him the strength that our God has. And then here's the whole reason, verse 6, and here's our key verse. I'm going to pray, we'll get right in the message. Why do we want to do all of this? Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I want to take a little line out of verse number 7 and preach you a message tonight. We must never forget the wonderful works of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for being so good to us, so kind, so gracious, so loving, so caring, so merciful, forgiving. And the list could go on and on. And tonight I have one great desire in my life as I stand here and preach in this great church. And that number one desire is that I might bring glory and honor to your name. And second of all, if I could ask, I would like to be a blessing to God's people, this dear pastor and this church family. But I can't do it by myself. I've got to have your help. Lord, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Give us something that we all need. And I need my heart spoken to tonight. Would you help me through the Holy Spirit of God? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Isn't it easy to forget? You know, I say people all the time, it's like, you know, I've declared that I'm not going to make this statement. Well, I'm getting older, so I'm forgetting. I'm not getting older. You agree? You're not getting older? You know, just, but isn't it easy to forget some things? I mean, just, wow, something that I had my mind on just a few minutes ago, and you kind of come to like, what was I just doing? Where was I going? What was I looking for? And it's so easy to forget, isn't it? And one of the great things I think that is so easy for all of us to forget is just what we've been talking about, how good God's been to us. You know, God's been so good to all of us. And it's so easy to be neglectful in that area of forgetting how good God's been to us. But that's why we have the Bible. We have chapters like Psalm 78 and verses where the psalmist put in here as reminders, I believe, to help us remember, don't forget the wonderful works that God has done in your life. And when you remember them, make sure you don't forget to share them with the next generation. He said, there's going to be children out there that are not even born yet. They will be born at some point in time. And when they are born, they ought to be able to rise up in their lifetime and know about the God that you and I have known about all of our life. And they ought to hear some praises about God. And they ought to hear that. And you know, that to me, praising beats complaining. It just does. I'd a whole lot rather praise than complain. But isn't it sometimes easier to complain than it is to praise? It's amazing how our fleshly makeup is. And you know, that fleshly nature is in us. It's more prone to grumble and gripe and complain rather than to praise. I have learned that I have to make myself set aside time just to praise God and to be thankful for those things. You know, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Someone asked me, Brother Campbell, well, does that mean that we're not in the will of God if we're not giving, being thankful? I said, I believe that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it, God did. You can't be in the will of God if you're not giving thanks in everything. Now, wait a minute. That's a broad spectrum, isn't it? In every single thing? Yes, every single thing. So I want to share with you a few thoughts here tonight that the Lord used in our life. And just since we were here last time with you, we had gone to many doctors before we found this doctor that I'm going to now. And nobody seemed to have any answers how to help us. Just more medicine, more medicine, more medicine, more medicine. And we kind of got to the point where I just didn't want any more medicine. Seemed like the medicine I was taking was just not helping me. It's making things worse. And so my wife began to research a little bit. My wife bought a book by a doctor who is a doctor and that is currently working at Johns Hopkins Medical Institute up in Bethesda, Maryland. But at the time, he had to give his practice up and he wrote a book. And in this book, he tells in there that he has a condition called, get this, arachnoiditis, the very same disease I have. Now, I'm not sure how he contacted it, but it was so bad, so painful that this doctor had to give up his practice that he had and worked hard, spent years in college, money, and to be where he's at, he had to give it up and he ended up in a wheelchair, Pastor. Could not walk. So now here's a doctor, he has his practice no more. And now he can't even walk because the pain is so bad. And he has the same incurable disease that I do, arachnoiditis. And he writes in that book, and my wife got a copy of this book. She read it, and she goes all the way to the end of the book. And in the end of the book, he tells the good news. I no longer have arachnoiditis. I found a protocol of things that I did in my life that has cured me of my disease. I no longer am in a wheelchair, and now to this day, he's back in his medical practice, and now he's even advanced higher up in the authority realm of Johns Hopkins Hospital. Well, naturally, my wife read the book. He didn't put the protocol in the book on how you get better. So my wife said, I'm going to contact the doctor's office. She called, tried to get an appointment. Ma'am, my husband has the same thing the doctor did. The doctor told him he could end up in a wheelchair. He is suffering so much with pain. 4 years ago, ma'am, he had a heart attack because the stress from the pain was so much that it just put so much pressure on his heart. And we don't want to go through that route again. Ma'am, would you talk to the doctor and see, would he see my husband? She called her back in a day or two and she said, Mrs. Campbell, I talked to the doctor. She said, but unfortunately, the doctor is so busy, he is not taking any new patients as of this time. Well, that was kind of a little disappointment. Okay, well, how long do we have to wait? How long till he's going to take new patients? So a few days went by. My wife called another time or two. I don't remember how many times. And then one day, my wife was reading some medical journals and blogs on the internet, and she saw this doctor was on there and doing a live blog, I guess you call it. And he said in there, he said, if you have any health questions that you feel that I can help you with, you send them in to me, and I promise you I will get back with you very quickly. Well, my wife probably beat everybody else. She put down the question. She emailed the doctor and said, I called, I couldn't get in, and I know you're not taking patients. And my husband told him our whole story, how everything had happened in our life. And the doctor did email back very quickly. When my wife got the email, she come running into the room, and I noticed she was weeping. She said, honey, I don't understand this doctor's reply. I said, what is it? She let me read it. He received our request. He said, I'm sorry, I will not help you. She said, I don't get it. How could you have a cure and know that something will work, but not want to give it out? And that's all he could say. I'm sorry, I will not help you. I said, honey, it doesn't make sense to me either. I said, let me think on it a little bit. My wife kept saying, why would he write that? You know, that's kind of like if somebody walked in the doors of Faith Baptist Church tonight and they came in and they came all the way down and they contacted the pastor and said, Pastor, I saw you eating in a restaurant the other day and I just wanted to come tonight and I just got a quick question. I just don't know for sure that if I died in the next 5 minutes, whether or not I'd go to heaven. I may go to hell, but I know I don't want to go to hell. I'd like to go to heaven. Pastor, could you please help me? Now, I know this brother good enough to know he's not going to tell her, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have time to help you. You know better than that. I think he would do everything he could to help her. And I think all of us would too as well. Hey, if somebody wants to know the gospel, I want to be the one to give it to them. And wow. That's kind of what happened. I'm sorry, I will not help you. I said, honey, before I respond back, I said, I want to think about it, pray about it. God brought me to Psalm 78, right where we're at tonight. And I read this whole chapter through, and I got down to these verses here, verse number 7. And I want you to look with me again as we look at that verse, and it says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I got up from my desk and I said, honey, I'm ready to give you the answer why that doctor responded the way he did. She said, okay, I'm waiting. I said, honey, here it is. He said, I'm sorry, I will not help you, because back when he was sick and when he was in his worst moments, and he's better now, he's forgot what it was like when it was him. He's forgot. He's forgot what that pain was like. He's forgot what that was like. And I said, I want to learn something from this. I don't want to get angry at him. I don't want to get mad at him. That wouldn't be the right avenue to take. And I said, honey, God has given us a ministry that's called Treasure Trials. What's our purpose? We're to bring hope and help to people that are hurting. I said, I want to learn from that doctor. And here's what I want to learn. If anybody ever comes to you and I in our ministry seeking hope or help, how about we agree right now, we'll never tell them, I'm sorry, I will not help you. We are not going to do that. Now, I'm not being mean at a doctor, and I'm not mad at a doctor. I'm not upset at a doctor, because all things work together for good. God had another doctor for me to see. And 9 months later, guess what? I'm getting better. And things are going great. And I'm able to do things now I never dreamed I'd be able to do. But you see, here's the whole thing. Notice verse 7. That they might set their hope in who? God. You see, sometimes we can put all our hope in man and just get let down. But you'll never get let down by putting your hope in an almighty God. If we're going to have hope tonight, that's what I want to tell people. Hope is found in God. And because of that, I want to share three thoughts with you here through our text tonight. And I looked at that verse and it said, don't forget the wonderful works of God. And that just kind of resonated in my mind. And so number one, I want to just look with you tonight and just show these thoughts with you tonight while we have just a few minutes here. And we find it in verse number 4. And then we find it in verse number 7. Never forget the works of God. Not forget the works of God. If you look down at verse number 9 in our text here, it says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. You know, that's what's happening all over America. There's a lot of people who used to be marching forward, onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, and you know, keep pressing on. But we all know people now that have retreated. They've gone back in the day of battle. And by the way, the day of battle is still here. As long as there's a devil, there's a day of battle. And the battle will not be over till God raptures us out of here. And because of that, he said, they turned back in the day of battle. You want to know why they turned back? Look down at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. And look at verse 11. And forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Now that's a sad testimony, isn't it? I don't want to get down to the end of my life and somebody have to walk by my casket and see my body there and say, boy, old Brother Campbell, he went through some pretty tough times in his life, 8 years, and I mean he suffered, and boy, he went well for so many years. But I'll tell you, the last 10 years, he quit. He went backward instead of forward. I don't want that to be my testimony. Because the next generation needs to know that our hope is found in God. My point number one, don't ever forget the wonderful works that God has done in your personal life. How many are glad you're saved tonight? Are you glad your name's written in the book of life in heaven? Aren't you glad that once your name gets written down in the book of life in heaven, it can never be taken out? Boy, it's there. John 5:13, that I may know that my name is written down in the book of life. And boy, there's nothing can happen to that. And guess what? When we get to heaven, I mean, my sins are all washed away. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea, and my heart is a song. And I'm just thankful that my sins are washed away. Past, present, and future. Aren't you glad your sins are gone? They're under the blood. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Christ did for me what I could not do. They're under the blood. Just like the saints of old. Hey, God still uses the blood to save, to wash our sins away. And so I'm so thankful. I could go down my mind and think of a list of things. 43 years ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never had to worry about since that day where I'm going to spend eternity. And I praise God. And not long after that, God called me to preach. Wasn't long after that, God brought my beautiful wife into my life. And boy, when I saw her, I just knew she was the one for me. And I just knew it. I mean, the first time I looked at her, my heart about beat out of my chest. And I thought, wow, now that's the girl I'm going to marry one day. By the way, next Friday will be 33 years with that lady right there. Boy, God's been good to me. And after 3 years we were married, God allowed us to have our first son, Isaac. And then almost 19 years later, Jack. That's a lot of years to wait, isn't it, for number two. My wife and I are thinking when we get 59 and a half, maybe 60, that'll be another 19 years. No, we won't go there. Hey, but I want to tell you, God's been good to me. And, oh, hey, you know, I allowed to go out to Washington State, start a church, and pastor for 15 years. Yes, had this disease happen, this mishap happen in my life, and it took me away from my church and never dreamed I'd ever have, you know, the opportunities I'm having today. But then God brought this doctor to me in January, even though one said, I'm sorry, I will not help you. Hey, don't forget, one might look like that has all the answer, but God's always got a second wait right in the corner. There's, you ever read the little statement, when God closes a door, he opens a window, or God closes a window, he opens a door, however you say that. Hey, it's so true in the Christian life. And God's been good to all of us. And there's so much we have to be thankful for. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. And I realize not everybody's had that opportunity. But for all of my life, I've never got up on a Sunday morning and wondered, what were we going to do on Sunday? I've always been in church. I was raised by my parents. They're Christians. They know the Lord. My dad's 95. My mom's 90. And still going to church. And I praise God for that. And I'm thankful that my wife knows the Lord. I know the Lord. My kids know the Lord. I just have so much to be thankful for. By the way, don't you? He said in that text, don't forget the wonderful works that God's done in your life. And I believe every day when I have a little time of prayer, and I do mine in the morning, I take a few minutes and I don't do anything but just thank God and praise God. Because I don't ever want to get to the place in my life where I forget. It's a danger when we forget how good God's been to us. I could tell you miracle after miracle that God's done in our life. But I praise the Lord for all that He's done. You know, 4 years ago I had a heart attack. Scared me to death. I've never been more afraid in my life. But I went April this year to my heart doctor. My heart doctor came in. He wasn't even in my room 10 minutes. He said, man, you're amazing. He knew I was walking, and he said, you don't even have any heart damage whatsoever. He said, you're doing great. He said, you know, from that heart attack, he said, no damage. He said, I wish I could get all my heart patients to be where you are. When he said that, I said, boy, God's been good to me. Oh, I've had some ups and I've had some downs, and so have we all. I've had some dark times in my life that I wish I didn't have to go through. But I can still tell you, even through the dark days of life, God's still been good to me. And I don't want to ever forget God's goodness to me. Now, second of all, I want you to notice the second thing here that he tells us here in our text. And look with me, if you would, up in verse number 2. He says, and now give ear, verse 1, but number 2, he said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter these dark sayings of all. I'm going to tell you some things that are from the past. But look at verse 3, which we have heard and known. And look at that last line. And our fathers have told us. Let me ask you a question. How many in this room tonight are saved? And the reason you're saved, somebody else told you how to be saved. Raise your hand. Who is that? Wow. That's just about everybody. That's what this verse is telling us about. When I read that, I said, not only does God never want to forget the wonderful works He's done in our life, but notice how He words that verse 3. He said, don't forget, you would have never had known it had not somebody told you. Number 2, I wrote down, we must never forget the people that God put in our life to help us to be who we are now. I believe this statement with all my heart. There is no such thing as a self-made individual. Every one of us, when you look in the mirror, you have to be honest and say, I didn't get me here. I'm here because somebody invested in my life. I'm here because somebody took time. By the way, your mom and dad, your parents. I couldn't be who I am today had not been raised by my parents. I'm thinking about two or three of the pastors that I've had in my life. And I praise God. In all the years that I've been in church, God's put me under some great men of God, some pastors. You got a great pastor sitting right here. And I don't have to question whether or not he loves you in this church. I know it. You can just see it and tell it when you talk to him. And boy, I tell you, don't forget about those kind of things. Thank God for that. Oh, wow. You have no idea how many pastors. We got an email just for church tonight. Another church in another state that does not have a pastor. And they're looking and they can't find one. It's been 1 year. Oh, I tell you, we get stories like that all the time. Brother Campbell, please pray for us. We're a year into this thing. We still can't find a pastor. Folks, I want to tell you, none of us have become who we are without somebody invested in our life. I can think about my parents, think about my preachers. If you can read tonight, you ever thought about thanking your school teacher that took time to teach you? You know, I was writing this message out and the Lord impressed my heart. I got to thinking back in my life about all the people that had invested in my life. A youth pastor, different people. But I tell you, somebody God really allowed to stick out in my life, and it was my first grade teacher. Her name was Lucy Dowell. Now, Mrs. Dowell was in our church, but she taught 37 years, I believe it is, in the public school system. And my pastor in 1970 said, we're going to start a private Christian school in our church. And he said, Mrs. Dowell, I know you just retired from 37 years of public school. He said, but you have so much wisdom and knowledge that our kids need. Is there any way you consider at least maybe 1 or 2 years committing to teach in our Christian school? She prayed about it. She came back and told our pastor, I think I can do maybe 1 or 2 years. I'll be glad to help you. Boy, am I glad she said yes, because guess what? I was in her first grade class. Now, Mrs. Dowell was about 62, 63 years old at this time, white, wavy hair, and just a beautiful lady, but stern. Oh, wow. Boy, she allowed no kind of messing around in the class. And I remember she kind of had a little arthritis. She had crooked fingers, you know, and you'd look up, but she could still teach. And she always had this habit where when she was thinking or looking around the room, or if one of us got in trouble, she would look over her glasses and she'd bite her jaws. And you could see these little nodules in there just, you know, and when she gave you that look, you usually knew, uh-oh, she looked straight at me. I'm in trouble. I've done something. But she was a sweet lady. I got to thinking in my mind, that lady, you don't want to know why she's so important in my life? Because she gave me my very first spanking in school. You say you're thankful for that? Well, sure I am. Because you know what? Had she not done that, I may have ended up in juvenile detention. I'll tell you why I got a spanking. I was in class one day. We'd finished lunch. She said, put your lunch bags away. Everybody set up straight. We're going back to class. She turned around, wrote on the chalkboard, and I sat in the back of the room where I shouldn't have sat with two other classmates, and they said, hey, Kirby, you want to have some fun when Mrs. Dow writes on the board? I said, well, what do you got in mind? And they said, pull your empty lunch bag out and blow it up, and then when she turns her back, pop it. I said, you think that lighten things up? Yeah, I think it would. I know now why my dad always had this statement to us boys when we were growing up. Son, look at me. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be dumb in life, you better be tough. Well, guess what? First grade, I was not very smart. She wrote on the board. I blew it up. I looked at the kids. They said, yeah, now. I went, boom. Oh, Mrs. Dow. She was writing on the board. The chalk hand went up. She jumped about 2 feet in the air. She turned around. Boy, them nodules were going like that. And she saw me with that bag in my hand. She said, Kirby Campbell, get down here and meet me in front of my desk right now. Oh, my goodness. I've never been so afraid in my life. I put the bag down and I'm making my way. She said, now, get up here. She run down quickly and sat down in her little chair that had the wheels on it. She rolled around. And when I got within 3 feet, you know, man, I was trembling, really. I was praying. And if I'd have thought about it, I'd have said, oh, as John said in Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus, now come. But I got down in front of her there and she grabbed those old fingers out. She jerked me across her lap. She raised that hand up and she wailed me about 8 or 10 times. And she said, you will not do that ever again in my class. And no, ma'am, I won't. I've learned my lesson. You know what? I'll never forget that because it changed my life. My wife and I are getting ready to go to Washington State to start our church. I said, I wonder, we may never get a chance to ever see her again. I wonder if she's still living. I'd like to go by and just thank her for that spanking. I found her. Her husband's 99, she's 94. We drove down the driveway. I get up to the porch. I knock on the door. Her husband was just about completely blind, but he came to the door and said, "Could I help you?" I told him my name, why I was there. I said, "Your wife taught me in first grade at Southview. God's called me to preach. I'm going to start a church. I may never get another chance. I'd like to come and thank your wife if it's okay tonight." He said these words. He said, "Yes, she's in the living room, but she has cancer, and she only has just a few weeks to live." He said, "But she's going to enjoy this visit. Follow me." I followed him through the house. I went to the living room. There she sat in the corner with an old lamp there in the corner wall. She said, "Who is it?" He said, "I'm going to let them tell you who they are." I walked over there and she said, "Come a little closer. I can't make you out to see you." In my mind, it went back about 40 years and I thought, wow, last time I got this close, I regretted it. But I got there in front of her chair and she looked up and she said, "Could I ask who you are and why you came to visit?" I said, "Mrs. Dow, my name's Kirby Campbell." She pulled her glass. She said, "I remember you." I said, "Mrs. Dow, God's called me to preach. I'll never forget that spanking you gave me in first grade class. I may have never went out, surrendered to go to preach had you not set me straight. And I'm leaving in a few days to go to 3,000 miles to Seattle area, and I may never get another chance, but I wanted to stop by tonight and just say how much I appreciate you. And I want to thank you." She began to weep. Tears run down her face. She grabbed both my arms. She pulled me into her breast. She hugged me. She kissed me on all my cheeks. And she said, "Boy, you have no idea what this means. In all my 40 years of teaching, I honestly think you're the only student who's ever come and thanked me." Now, I don't tell you that story to pat me on the back, because I've failed in a lot of areas of my life trying to thank some people who've invested in my life. But you know what I think the psalmist is trying to tell us here? Hey, don't you forget all the good things that God's done for you. But number two, don't you forget all the people that I set in your life on purpose to teach you, to train you, to invest in you. It'd do you good once in a while to thank them. Now, if you're like me, a lot of them's probably going to heaven now. But you know what? We ought to have a revival in America of people being thankful, or of the people that God has put in our life to invest in our life. I don't know who you might be thinking of right now, but I can think of a host of them. I wouldn't be where I'm at for my people that I know God's put in my path. And I don't want to live my life forgetting about those people. You know why I told you that story tonight? Because I have a son sitting in here. And that Bible says when your children grow up, they ought to hear those stories. You know, if we want our kids to learn how to be thankful, learn how to praise God, I think they're going to have to see it in our homes. Because I believe more will be caught than will be taught. And I believe that with all my heart. And you know, we ought to be doing a lot of example setting for the next generation. You know why I want to read my Bible in my home? Because I want my kids to see me reading the Bible, because I want them to know it's the right thing to do. And you know what, folks? Every one of us ought to have somebody in our heart and our mind right now that we know made an impact in our life, an investment in our life. How long has it been since you thanked them? If they're still living, we ought to be sending some notes, making some phone calls, sending an email, text message, something. We ought to say, hey, how about the boss that you work for? Well, you say, but he or she may not be always a nice kind of, it doesn't say just when they're nice. They're paying you. You know what I'm saying? And we just need a revival of just saying thank you. God has put people in the path of life, in all of us, to invest in our life. And we ought to not neglect to say once in a while, Hey, I want you to know, I hadn't forgot what you've done for me. Thank you. Third thing and last is I want to give you this right here. Look with me if you would. At the third point that I want to share with you tonight. And look if you would in verse number 4. He said, now listen up. We will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come. Not the generation that's living now. No, the generation to come. Then look if you would in verse number 6. That the generation, what? To come. Not the ones right now, but the ones that are maybe not around, or maybe they're just being born, they're just coming up. He said, what do you want me to tell them? Hey, tell them where to set their hope. And tell them, don't forget how good God's been to you. And don't forget about the people God's put in your life to impact your life. But then number 3, I wrote down this. We should never forget about all the people that God is raising up that's going to be in our reach. And we're supposed to tell them. We're supposed to tell them. Hey, the little babies that are being born, they're growing up. Don't you think they deserve to hear how good God is? Don't you think they deserve to know how good God's been to you? This kind of Bible right here. And he said, don't neglect the generation to come. That's why I don't go anywhere unless I got a brochure or a gospel tract. And everywhere I go, hey, I never know who I'm going to meet or cross paths with. And I may only get one chance, and that's it. But I don't want to blow it. But can I tell you, I've blown it a lot of times. Most of the time it's because I'm so busy, I'm so structured, I'm so scheduled, I'm so focused on what I'm doing right now that I just forget. I handed a brochure the other day when I was going through Walmart. I checked out and I was about to forget and I reached in and I grabbed one. I said, oh, ma'am, by the way, I want to give it. She said, what is that? I said, ma'am, I'm a preacher. I have a ministry. It's called Treasure Trials. I said, we just try to bring hope and help to people that are going through hard times in their life. And I said, you probably don't need it because you look like the lady that never has a bad day, has never had anything bad ever happen to you. She said, give me that thing. She said, you have no idea what I'm going through just right now. And boy, for about 5 minutes, she told me all of her burdens, her heartache, and her trials. Now, I did that on purpose. But you know what? I had to remind myself, hey, I may only meet her one time in life. Did I tell her? Did you tell them this week at the grocery store down where you work? You see, there's people I think we cross paths with sometimes, maybe only one time in life. Don't they deserve to know about Jesus? Don't they deserve to know about you and your life? I want to make an impact in people's life. You know, and I believe that's the whole reason God gave my wife and I this ministry. We haven't always understood fully what our ministry is all about. But I can tell you one thing for sure. It's all about investing in somebody else's life. I want to take everything that God has shown me and done for me in my life, and now I just want to pass it along. In the last 3 months, Pastor, I would say I've had 10 calls from around America of people who have now been diagnosed with arachnoiditis. Last one was a pastor in Wyoming just a few days ago called me. You could hear in the living room his wife had just had 2 back surgeries and the surgeons went in and they hacked up 7 of her nerves in her back. And you could hear her as he's on the phone. I didn't even know this man. I didn't even know how he got my number. And he said, Brother Campbell, I hope I'm not bothering you. He said, I'm a pastor out in Casper, Wyoming. He said, Brother Campbell, my wife is hurting awful bad. I could hear her over there, oh, oh. I could just hear that in the background. He said, somebody told us that you found something for your arachnoiditis that's helping you. Would you mind sharing that with me? I said, Brother, I'd be glad to. You see, because God did something good for me. It'd be terrible and dirty if I didn't pass it along. That's what he said. I got a call recently from a missionary he and his wife have had to come off of the mission field in Guatemala after 27 years. And they've moved now to Coleman, Alabama. And he called me and he said, Brother Campbell, we had to give up our dreams. We had to give up everything. My wife had a back surgery. My wife has a condition now called arachnoiditis. Another missionary in Charleston, South Carolina, called me recently. Same thing. I talked to a pastor today in Lexington, North Carolina. Same age I am. Arachnoiditis. And today he just told me, he said, I've just got out of the hospital, Brother Campbell. And he said, they tell me now that only 12 to 15% of my heart is working. And unless I get on the heart transplant list, I don't have long to live. He said, and I'm like you. He said, I've got a 10-year-old daughter. And I'd like to squeeze everything out of life that I can. You know what? I don't think I get those phone calls by accident. I think I get them on purpose because God's hoping I'm going to not forget about those to come. Got home on Saturday and went into the house and I had a message from a nurse at the hospital. I had been visiting there and I handed the nurse some of my gospel tracts. She asked me, she said, what's those things you're handing out? And she said, well, I go to another church, but it's not like your kind of church, I guess. She said, we don't do these. I wish we did, and I don't know why we don't. She said, but you're always here. You're always handing these out to people. She said, can I have some of those? She said, let me ask you a question. Would you be okay if I call you if I ever have a patient or a family here that don't maybe have a church or a pastor, and maybe could I call you and maybe you come by and visit them since you're here? I said, I would love it if you do that. Well, that message was this nurse. She said, Brother Campbell, I know it's Saturday. You're probably getting ready to preach somewhere tomorrow. She said, I hate to bother you, but we have a family here in the hospital. Their mother's on death's door. And I can tell they don't have a church. They don't have a pastor. I don't even know if they know about God or not. But I just wanted to tell you, if you had time, would you come by and visit them? I jumped in my car and I drove right over there. I told her I was coming. She met me in the front room in the hospital there in the lobby. When I came in, she said, thank you for coming. I know you're busy. I said, it's okay. I'm glad that I could. She said, let's go upstairs to the room. She said, Brother Campbell, I got to tell you, the doctor is by the bedside and he won't leave now because he says maybe an hour is all she has. And there's another nurse there. And she said, there's about 25 people, family standing in the room and out in the hall. And she said, I can just kind of tell they're just really having a hard time. I said, let's go. I go up there and I see you down the hall. There they stand down there. And she said, I'll introduce you. She got in the room and she said, folks, this is the preacher. You know, I asked permission. You said to call him. You said it was okay. They said, oh, thank you for coming. Yes, yes, come on into the room. Let's go over here. Let's show you my mama. Man, they're crying. They got down by the bedside and wow, I looked, this poor lady, maybe 70 pounds. Oh, maybe 20, 30 breaths a minute. Oh, she is laboring hard to breathe. The doctor said, won't be long. I've told the family. She's breathing very, very slowly. And I thought, well, I'd like to pray with the family. I've never been in a situation like this. And I just asked the family. I said, could I ask you folks a question? Does any of you know whether or not your mother ever became a Christian? Does these words mean anything to you? Was she saved? Was she born again? Does she know the Lord? They started asking each other, "What, honey, do you know? Sister, do you know? Brother, do you know?" No, I don't know. I've never heard those things. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, oh, wow. Well, got to tell them the truth now. I said, well, only if you're a Christian can you go to heaven once you stop breathing here in this life. And those that don't know the Lord, unfortunately, won't be able to go to heaven. And they said, well, what can we do? I just got over to the bedside and I said, Doc, do you think there's any way this lady could hear me? He said, give it a try. Have no idea. She's been in kind of like coma state for several hours. I said to the family, are you okay? They said, oh, please, please. I got down by the bedside, Brother Brian, and I got down there and I grabbed her hand. It was already cold. I got down by her ear and the doctor said, get real close. He said, speak right into her ear. I told her who I was, why I was there. I pulled my testament out and I started reading some verses, for all have sinned. I said, ma'am, the doctor says you don't have long to live. And I want to find out whether or not you're a Christian. Do you know the Lord? Are you going to heaven when you die? Or do you not know? And I said, if you can hear me, would you squeeze my hand? Let me know you hear me. Nothing. I proceeded. I said, ma'am, I'm going to give you some verses here. I want to tell you how to become a Christian. How can you know for sure you're going to heaven? And I read the verses. I quoted them. I said them to her. And I got down to the end. I said, ma'am, now that you know you're a sinner and Jesus is the only one who could pay for your sin, would you receive him right now? Put your faith and trust in him. And here's how you do it. You must pray to God and ask for yourself. I said, ma'am, if I could do it for you, I would do it right now. But I cannot. You have to do it. And I said, I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer, we call it. And you have to pray it with me. And I prayed that prayer. And when I got done, literally tears were dripping down my coat. Family members were breathing on my neck. Pastor, did she do it? Please tell us she did it. Did you? I said, ma'am, if you prayed right now, will you squeeze my hand, raise an eyebrow, wiggle a toe, anything? Oh, they're all looking. They said, preacher, did you feel anything? I said, unfortunately, I didn't. I prayed with that family. I felt really helpless. I got the nurse. The nurse said, I'll walk you back down to the elevator. I said to the family, call me if you need me for anything. We got down to the elevator. The nurse that was in there with the doctor come running out of the room, hollered for the nurse that was walking me down to the elevator, said, come quick, come quick. And I knew. I said, Mama's gone. She went running back down to the room, and I thought, well, maybe the family's going to need me. I just wandered back down there. When I got to the room, I could see people in there with their eyes wide open. And the doctor said, where's the preacher? I said, I'm right here. He said, could you come to the bedside real quick? He said, she's kind of waking up. And when I got over to the bedside, that little lady had raised her head about a half inch and opened one of her eyes. And she was trying to get her hand up off of the bed. She said, where's the preacher? And I said, I'm right here, ma'am. And I grabbed her hand and I got back down. And she said, thank you for telling me of Jesus. I trusted him. I jumped up from there. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Family members were picking me up, were squeezing, hugging me, kissing me on the cheek. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, boy, don't thank me. I said, it was the Lord. And then it dawned on me, hey, what about the rest of you? And preacher, I turned around, preached the whole plan of salvation, and I believe 18 or 19 of the family got on their knees in that room and trusted Christ as their Savior. When I walked out of there, I said, God, don't ever let me forget that an opportunity is just around the corner. Folks, there's somebody out there dying tonight. Your neighborhood, maybe you work with, family member. Don't you think they deserve to know Jesus? Don't you think they need to hear about him? He said, don't forget about the generation to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.